The Wickham Wanderers Show.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Wickham Wanderer Show. There's an international break, of course, so no actual game to look forward to, but we've still got nearly all of our regular features. We'll hear from Phil in a few moments' time with our match briefing. We'll hear from manager Matt Bloomfield, Matt Butcher as well. We'll catch up with John Bignall from the Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association, just out from their annual dinner. The 14th annual dinner takes place on the 15th of November, celebrating 30 years in the Football League. We'll get his thoughts on some of the highlights of the event at Adams Park, which is tomorrow, if you're listening on the podcast today, yesterday, recently. Just delete the inapplicable whenever you're listening to it. It'll make perfect sense, honestly. Thanks to Wickham Wanderers Women, we'll chat to Milana Cador, who is someone who's worked her way up through the squads from the under-18s, open brackets, although didn't actually play for them, close brackets, through the under-23s slash development, through to the first team as well. It's an interesting story. More from her a bit later on as well, and there could be an extensive notice board coming up very soon as well. But first, let's get our briefing with Phil. We spoke to him after Tuesday night's EFL Trophy victory over Crawley, which saw us progress to the knockout stages. And brilliant to reflect on the fact that, you know, 12 months ago we were talking about such a long run without a win. And who'd have thought that a year later, we'd have thought, or in a year's time, we'd be thinking, oh, don't worry, because in 2024 we'll be on a fantastic unbeaten run, a brilliant winning run, and we'd be top of League One.
Yeah, incredible. And, you know, football just goes to show. I think, you know, I often use football as a metaphor for life, but, you know, if you give people time to learn and develop, it can pay off. Not every time, obviously. There's lots of examples in football that doesn't happen. But at Wickham, certainly, we've got some excellent examples of that in our recent history. And, yeah, it's fantastic that it's happened for Matt Bloomfield in that way, and also because of who it is and his connection with the club and the fans and the town, etc. So it's wonderful to see. But look, you know, it's Matt will tell you as well, football's a fickle business. He can win 8 games in a row now, but he knows that he's got to keep that up and, you know, keep the results coming in. And if he has a run where we lose 8 games in a row, then the attitudes will change. So he knows that, and he's working very, very hard. You know, as hard as he was 12 months ago, he's working equally as hard now. Now we're on that run, because football's a bit like painting the fourth bridge. It's just never ending. You've just got to keep going and keep learning, keep developing, keep growing. And, you know, it's a joy to watch him at work, because he works incredibly hard. I think he put a lot of pressure on himself last year as well. And he's learnt a lot, and it's good to see him come through that and deliver where we are at the moment. And it's a good time to be a Wickham Wanderers fan.
When we last spoke, there was a Manager of the Month nomination, but a day later, there was a Manager of the Month win.
Yes, yeah, I think we were all expecting it because of the run and what he'd achieved and who he was up against and what results they had had. So, yeah, I think it was no surprise. But if you sort of zoom out a bit, he was nominated the month before and didn't win. He won it in April at the end of last season. So I think out of the last 4 Manager of the Months, he's either been nominated or won it 3 out of 4 months. So that just kind of indicates the calendar year that Matt Bloomfield has had, because I think that a lot of the groundwork for this started between January and the end of last season. And obviously was hugely boosted over the summer as well, with a good window and the depth of the squad, etc. So yeah, it's been a really good period for him,
and a great sort of reward, if you like, for the way the team is playing, and, you know, the rotation of the players as well.
Yeah, it's a really good indication of what's going on. Obviously, from a fan point of view, you know, we're all delighted for him, but fans want to win trophies and promotions. You know, we don't often sing about Manager of the Month awards as fans, but it's a really good indication, and it's a really good recognition for Matt and the staff and everyone involved for all the work that they do. So, yeah, it's good. And, you know, I know our last manager was quite superstitious, and, you know, the curse of the Manager of the Month is something that's spoken about, and that was successfully avoided on Saturday, which was also handy.
No, absolutely, and really pleasing, obviously, to complete the group stage, if you like, and progress in the EFL Trophy.
Yeah, that was a really big big game last night, and, you know, it's not often we've been able to say that about the EFL Trophy, but as a club, I think we realised what it could do for us last season. That run all the way to the final was excellent. You mentioned the bad run we had in the league before Christmas, and that kind of left us, I think, with too much to do in terms of getting in the top six. But the cup competition gave a really good framework for the second half of the season and gave us real momentum as well, and has really helped prepare the ground for this season. And this year now, with the squad that we have and the depth and everything else, it's a good vehicle now for keeping everybody on their toes. And we saw that last night. You know, Matt Butcher, Luke Leahy, really excelling in midfield last night. Great goal from Luke Leahy from the free kick. And even the penalty that was saved wasn't a badly taken penalty. It was just a fantastic save by the Crawley Town keeper. And also bringing people back into the team. Brandon Hanlon for his first start a year and a day after his ACL injury, and a goal for him inside 3 minutes, which was the perfect start. Ryan Tapazzoli, first time we've seen him on the pitch since August, since he picked up an injury. Nathan Bishop back in the squad after picking up an injury as well at the start of the season. So these competitions are really important for the club to stay in now. Obviously, if you go back about 5 or 6 years, they were sort of deemed as almost a bit awkward to deal with because we didn't have the players available, and with the fixtures coming thick and fast, it was difficult to kind of respect the competition as well as we would the league or perhaps an FA Cup game. But you know, with the situation we're in now, the size of the squad, the fact we didn't have a game on Saturday meant that we could go strong last night. Still made 10 changes, though, which is a really good indication of the depth of quality in the squad. And credit to Crawley, they gave us a good go, but it was essentially a knockout game, even though it was the last group game, because Winner went through. And Wickham, you know, there's a couple of scary moments, but Wickham looked comfortable for the majority of last night and deserved to go through. They win the group on goal difference, which I believe means, Colin, they get a home tie in the round of 32, which I think takes place December the 9th, week commencing December the 9th. Don't know when the draw is or who we could be up against potentially, but we'll try and find that out as soon as possible.
And it really feels like perhaps that, you know, getting to the final last year must be a great motivator for the players, thinking, oh yeah, we'd like to go one further this time.
Yeah. I mean, the day out of Wembley is great, but, you know, we all know that the day out of Wembley only really matters if you win. It's not a great place to lose. It's a great place to win, and it's a great day out for the fans. But equally, the fan day out is only really sort of remembered properly if you win. We've got experience of both of those things. And unfortunately, the last time we won at Wembley, there were no fans there. But, you know, those of us old enough to remember know what it's like to win at Wembley and be there. So it'd be wonderful to get back there in April and do it again and get to the final and hopefully get the result.
And hopefully this international break won't derail this run of momentum.
Yeah, it's one of those, isn't it? It's the momentum's great and you want to keep playing. But then equally on Saturday at Wigan, we certainly looked tired at times and justifiably so. We'd had a Tuesday night away game in Manchester, whereas Wigan hadn't played at all in midweek, so had their feet up. And you could certainly tell that watching the game. And it was a very different 3 points that Wickham got that day and had to dig in. And Franco Ravazzoli pulled us out of danger on a few occasions with some great saves. So on one hand, you know, yes, you'd want to play and keep momentum going. But on the other hand, there's some tired bodies in there too. And Josh Gowan picked up a knock last night. You've got to look at the positives of the break and think, okay, there's a chance now for them to rest and recuperate. And from the last international break, Wickham have won every single match. So if they can kind of rest up and recuperate and come back in a similar frame of mind and attack the next block of fixtures, which will be a very busy period as well, but with their batteries recharged, let's see what happens.
In that case, it does feel like, doesn't it, a really nice time to have the international break in that, as you say, from those run of fixtures and what's to come as well, the players can really benefit from that.
Yeah. I think, you know, the run when we come back is going to be pretty brutal. An away trip to Lincoln, which is never easy to play at. It's not an easy place to get to either. It's nowhere near anything. And it's been some pretty tough games there down the year. I think we lost 3-0 there last season, at the beginning of last season. So that's going to be a tough game. And it's Mansfield Town, who've made a fantastic start to the season. Tuesday night, a rearranged game, Tuesday night under the lights at Adams Park. You know, we're rolling into the FA Cup, a tricky away tie, a non-league ground at Wealdstone, a nice local one, but that's not going to be easy. And then it's Reading. So, you know, that these games, they're all big, obviously. They've all got their own importance to it. But there's not much time for recovery in between times. So this is a really important week, I think, for Wickham. I just feel sorry for the fans because it's a Saturday home game that's been lost, and we all love playing on a Saturday at Adams Park, and those Tuesday night rearranged games at this stage of year, they'll tend to be a Tuesday night, maybe in January or February, which we know that present their own challenges for people who maybe can't make those games. But yeah, but the players can take this opportunity to rest and take the positives from it, because that's all you can do. It's out of our control. It was Huddersfield that called it off. So yeah, take the positive from it, rest up, recuperate, and make sure that we're doing everything we can to keep that momentum going.
And supporters can get in the Christmas spirit by attending the Christmas light switch on in its entirety, feeling very festive, which the club are sponsoring this year.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So, you know, there'll be Bodger will be down in town, and no doubt faces from around the club too. So that'll be great. And it's always a great event in the town centre as well. The Christmas light switch on brings the whole town together, and you know, it's getting dark early now, isn't it? And it's just nice to be able to bring people together. I know that Bluey and Bingo will be there as well, which is a huge draw for anyone who's got young children. That's going to be very exciting. And to see Bodger on the stage with those guys will be great. You know, a good chance for people to come and see the Wycombe Wanderers stall in town. There's some excellent Christmas merchandise, Colin. I fully expect you to be wearing a Wycombe Wanderers Christmas jumper next time I see you. And I think there's even some sort of Santa hats and stuff as well. So, yeah, so very exciting. So come along and see it, say hello, and get stocked up for Christmas.
And enjoy your weekend off as well.
Thank you very much, Colin.
Real pleasure chatting to Phil. He'll return on next week's show. There's Ringing the Blues to look out for, pre-match drills as well. Do pay attention to Wanderers TV, where you'll find in full the following couple of interviews. If you're a regular listener to the show, you'll know that Phil often talks into his post-match interviews with the manager, Matt Bloomfield. And you'll note that after the Crawley game, after talking about it, he didn't know that this time. But in a slight change to the usual schedule, I'm pleased to bring you that now.
Gaffigan, congratulations out of the group, and that was the mission tonight.
Yeah, it was. You know, we wanted to get through. We made it tough for ourselves by losing the first game at AFC Wimbledon. So to win the next two and get ourselves through, it's a tournament that we take seriously, you know, with that from last season. It gave us a great day out at Wembley. We want to go one better this year, and we have to negotiate the first the group correctly. So really pleased to get through, mate.
A group game, but with a knockout energy, because it was winner takes all.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that probably showed, especially towards the end of the game when Crawley are making lots of subs and putting on lots of forwards. So it began a little bit of erratic nature about the game. But yeah, we're really pleased to get through. It would have been nice to maybe get a little bit more comfortable earlier on in the evening to make that last bit period of the game a little bit more comfortable. But yeah, get the end result and get through. It's also nice, I just said outside, you know, two games we've had Saturday, Tuesday, where we're not holding on at the end, Saturday probably more so than tonight. It was just to see the togetherness and the defensive nature, you know, is really nice, because at times last season we conceded late goals, which changed the perception of how we were playing. So to hold on to a couple of results in the manner of which you have has got to be pleasing as well.
10 changes as well, so the opportunity to rotate as well, but that comes with its challenges too.
Yeah, and I think that maybe at times tonight we saw it was a little bit clunky in terms of the way we're going about our business. You know, it's so easy when you've had a run of games to just feel the game and know exactly where to be and what time. If you're in and out, it's hard sometimes for me as a manager to judge players fully when they're in and out, and I feel for the lads at times. But again, you know, an opportunity tonight with no game Saturday, we could have kept similar to Saturday just gone, but I believe in the group and wanted to rotate and make sure everyone's ready, because we've got a really busy schedule coming up and everyone's got to be ready to contribute. And I thought that there were some excellent performances in there tonight.
And a lovely moment for Brandon Hanlon, his first start back and a goal.
Yeah, brilliant for Brands. He's a great guy, always smiling, always going about his work in the right manner, a year and a day, I believe, since his injury. And I just said in there, you know, he was at his peak of his powers, I felt, last season. So to get him back and get him on the pitch Saturday, start tonight, get himself a goal. I mean, it's a great finish. He's used his pace, his power, his burst pass and head down, and a great finish. So, yeah, really, really pleased.
And good to see big Ryan Tafazoli back out there too.
Yeah, Taff's been a big player for our football club for a number of years now, and he's a big figure for the lads and for the supporters. So to have him back out there, and you know, again, he's been out for a little while, so to get the minutes we did into him tonight and try and keep moving him forward and challenging for a shirt is another positive.
Josh Goen picked up a knock after coming on in the second half. Any news on him?
Nothing that I can really shed the light on too much. He's just got a knock on his knee from blocking the shot. I think he's going to need to go for a scan, so we'll have to wait and get the news on that. He's just told me that he got one at Blackpool last year and played at Wembley 6 days later, and that's Joshy Fear, isn't it? He won't admit he's hurt, so we'll see how that goes, and hopefully he's fine, fine for our next game.
And we'll hear more from the manager later on in the show. No, really. But first, Phil, also after Tuesday night's win, caught up with midfielder Matt Butcher.
Butch, job done this evening, got the win and topped the group.
Yeah, very much job done, like you say. Probably wasn't our best performance, but we knew what we needed to get out of this game to put ourselves in a position to go through. Obviously, off the back of what we experienced last season, it was something that we really wanted to do. So, job done, like you say.
10 changes, was that why it was slightly disjointed tonight? It's difficult with that many changes, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. Potentially in parts we're a little bit eager because maybe a few of us haven't played loads and loads of minutes of late, so everyone was eager to do well. And with a little break coming up, that's always in the back of your mind. Going into the game, you want to finish on a high. You don't want to, you know, have that mulling over the next couple of weeks. So, a positive result. And it's you know, you look at the last time we had the days off after the break, I'm not sure we've been beaten since, so it was really important just to top that kind of block off.
And even though it was a group game, it felt like a knockout game because it really was winner takes all.
Yeah, of course. Obviously, it's good practice going into the knockouts now. You know what it's like, cup games, knockout games, that they can be cagey at times. They're not often, as you'd expect, kind of the same patterns, the same rhythm. It's just that little bit different when there's that bit extra at stake riding on the game. So hopefully it's a nice lesson that we can take into the obviously FA Cup and the future round of this.
And a lovely moment for Brandon Hanlon, his first start since coming back from injury, almost a year to the day from that injury against Stevenage, and a goal.
Yeah, everyone's buzzing for him. Obviously, he's worked so hard to get back, and getting his couple of minutes that he's got already was obviously nice, but seeing him score and seeing him, how much that means to him, and doing what he loves and doing what he does best is great to see. Obviously, I've not seen loads and loads of him, but in that snippet tonight, then, you know, he's unstoppable at times. So it's great to have him back and great to see him scoring.
And how's Luke Leahy now after doing another fantastic, great free kick? That's two in a row.
Yeah, it's great. Obviously, him in that position, I think we've got a couple of free kick takers, but I think he's probably going to take precedent over the next few weeks. Yeah, it's a great free kick. Carbon coffee, but the other side from a few weeks back, wasn't it?
And it's a credit to Crawley as well, because they really went for it. They threw the kitchen sink at Wickham, went two up top as well. And it would have been nervy had they got that goal near the end.
Oh, 100%. I think we saw it in the last cup game we had here, going into the last 10, 15 minutes, one down. It's almost like a free spot to be. So they threw everything at it. Like you say, they caused us some real problems. We're probably unlucky to not get something out of the game, if I'm honest. But I think hopefully we can stay in this rhythm of grinding out results and grinding out wins from positions where we're not overly comfortable in the game and still come out on top.
So winning the group, I think that means we're at home in the next round in the knockout stages, so a home draw. Is this where the muscle memory kicks in? And you said that run to the final last season really did wonders for the squad.
Yeah, I think it's that extra bit of motivation that everyone can talk about it, but experiencing it so recent, it's still quite fresh in everyone's mind. So you can go back to that moment when you're in the games, when you're looking forward to them. You can always have what it can lead to. Everyone's goal in this competition is to get to Wembley and play there. Obviously, we would have loved to have gone one further, but they're easy games to get up to, even more so when you've been there and experienced what it can give you.
More from Matt Butcher later in the show as well, I know, talking about his thoughts on the international break and whether the players will benefit, they will, from the break and the chance to spend time with their families and rest and recuperate with what's going to be a hectic fixture schedule coming up. Those chats, of course, took place before the big news this week that former Wigan Wanderers boss Gareth Ainsworth, along with his assistant Richard Dobson, who we had on the show last week talking about the new challenge that he's ready for, were appointed to take charge of League One's bottom side, Shrewsbury Town. The manager's been speaking today to the media after taking over this week. He says he's looking forward to transforming the League One bottom side's fortunes, starting with a little bit of pain, he says. And he's looking to change the people's perceptions of the team. Of course, spent over 10 years in charge of Wickham, has been out of management for a year after 8 months at QPR. And if you missed it last week, I thoroughly recommend the chat with Richard Dobson, a really brilliant insight into their relationship and, of course, the manager managerial structure and their time in charge at the club as well, and bringing through some youth talent and creating a fantastic culture at the club as well, which I'm sure they'll be looking to replicate at Shrewsbury. Wickham, of course, away to Shrewsbury on the 14th of December, and then the Shropshire side visit Adams Park in April, which will be a fantastic occasion, I'm sure, for Gareth Ainsworth going up against his former coach and captain, Matt Bloomfield. I'll bring you more on that quite probably on next week's show, because we'll be getting some interviews from tomorrow night's Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association annual dinner, which Gareth will be attending. More on that with John Bignall in the second part of the Wickham Wanderer show, which is on the way here at Wickham Sound.
Across High Wickham and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound.
The Chair boys are flying high in League One this season, so come on down to Adams Park, get behind the boys and play your part in what will be a memorable season for Wickham Wanderers.
71 minutes on the clock, up against Jed Stitt, dancing around on his line. The
take right your time, Rich. Take
Richard
your time.
Kono. Here he comes.
Score! Richard!
It's been goals, goals, goals for the Chair boys so far this season. Come on down to Adams Park to play your part and get behind the boys. Head to tickets.wwfc.com and use the code SOUND on booking for a chance to win a gantry experience at a Wickham Wanderers home match. Come on, you Blues.
The Wickham Wanderers Show, Thursdays from 7.
Second part of the Wickham Wanderer show for this week. No game, of course, is the postponement of the Huddersfield Town Clash, which was due to be this weekend. Nothing to look forward to, as Phil famously said. But he means normally we'll look forward to the games which are taking place on a Saturday on this show, but not in this week's case. Still to come, we'll hear from Milana Cador from Wickham Wanderers Women as we continue to follow the Chair girls. We'll hear more from manager Matt Bloomfield and Matt Butcher as well. A pair of Matts between now and the end of the show. But first, thanks to the Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association on the eve of their 14th annual dinner, which is taking place, well, tomorrow. But if you're listening to this on the podcast, it may have even taken place, and I'm sure we'll be doing a fantastic event. I was fortunate enough to go to the last couple of years, and we'll be attending this year as well. John Bignall joins us from the Ex-Players Association, and himself and, of course, the whole committee and those organising it, very much looking forward to the event.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we couldn't have timed it better, really, could we? You know, we're celebrating 30 years of league life, and with the team sitting top of the league in League One, which is pretty fantastic, really. Yeah, we couldn't wish for a better date.
And you must have similar feedback as well. But it's been fantastic on the show in the past few weeks to have spoken to people who, you know, really feel that the club now is and even earlier in its sort of recent history as well has felt like such an established league club now.
Well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, 30 years is a long time, but I guess against a lot of league clubs, we're still, you know, new boys in many ways. But yes, I think that now is, having been through and been up as far as the Championship and then, you know, consolidated in League One over the last couple of years and now looking to push on again, it's great. And, yeah, very exciting for everybody involved.
And it really feels as well, doesn't it, for you know, obviously fans who've been following the club for such a long time, but there's so many kind of moments that stick out, whether it was the, you know, almost going out of the Football League to getting into the Championship as well.
Yeah, well, the going out of the Football League, I think, was a seminal moment, really, because from that point onwards, we pushed on. You know, we could have gone either way, and had we gone down, who knows what would have happened. It certainly wouldn't have been easy to come back up, you know, given the sort of the state the club was in at that time. But, luckily it went in the right direction. We were obviously lucky at the time to have Gareth Ainsworth in charge, you know, and he cut his teeth from then on in management, really, with Richard Dobson alongside him. And, you know, yeah, I think that, you know, where we are now owes a lot to where we were then, really.
And really great to have that celebrated, the 30 years at the dinner tomorrow. And it must take a lot to sort of put on an event like that.
Yeah, it it's a big event, and obviously 30 years is a long time to cover. So, you know, it's a job to try and do everything justice. But JDT, John Taylor, does all the work for this, as you know. You know, he produces it and writes the script, sorts out everything for the evening, really. So for him, yes, it's a massive task. And we've been together this morning just going through a few finer points. And, so hopefully... you know, people really enjoy it. I'm sure they will.
And I know that, you know, literally generations of players from different eras really look forward to the night as well.
Well, that's right, yeah. I mean, obviously, we've got hopefully a good selection of people that have played in the last 30 years or so, which is brilliant. But just another nice touch that this year is, it's 50 years on, actually, in January, when we played Middlesbrough in that epic FA Cup tie, when, you know, we were Isthmian League, they were top of the First Division. I mean, the thoughts of playing league football then were you know, we just didn't think about it, really. But from that team that played in that match against Middlesbrough, five of them, I know, will be there at the dinner tomorrow evening, which is absolutely brilliant. You know, John Maskell, Keith Mead, Alan Phillips, Gary Hand and Keith Searle. So to have five of them there, you know, 50 years on, is brilliant.
And they're all special guests, but some very special guests as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Everyone's a special guest, and you know, just briefly, that 50-year anniversary is going to be celebrated by the club on the date, early in January, and we hope to have those five I've just mentioned, plus some others if we can get them back for the match. I think it's the day we're due to play Blackpool at Adams Park on that day. So we'll have something special on that day to commemorate the, you know, that all those years ago, that achievement of taking them to the 89th minute in the replay.
And obviously we had Scott McLeish on the show as well, comparatively recently, and he's got a bit of a special record as well.
Absolutely, yeah, indeed, yeah. I mean, the most goals in one season for us, 26 goals in 2007-08. And he's still, I mean, that's the record, that's the club record of any since we've been in the league, of goals scored by a player in the season. He actually scored 34 goals for us, I think, in just 75 games. So, he was a real jack-in-the-box. Knew where the goal was, that's for sure.
And great that the former manager, Gareth Ainsworth, will be in attendance as well, especially after the news of this week.
Yes. I mean, that will make life very interesting tomorrow, won't it? Because no doubt we will talk to Gareth at some point. And although obviously the evening's about Wycombe Wanderers and it's about our achievements, you know, what we're all about here for ex-player. I mean, Gareth's a life member of the Ex-Players Association for his achievements as a player and a manager. You know, and what we're all about is people that have been connected with Wycombe. You know, it's that going forward as well as looking at the past. So yeah, it'll be great to hear from him and see what he's got to say. But obviously we're all delighted that he's back in football again, and you know, I've got no doubt he's going to be successful.
And what are some of the other highlights of the evening that you can tell us about?
Well, we've got some players from recent years coming back. Bayo Akinfenwa will be there, Joe Jacobson will be there, just to name a couple. But as I say, we've got people from all through the last 30 years, and we're hoping to talk to some of them. We've got some really good VT inserts on with showing goals and special moments during those 30 years. I mean, we've had to be very selective, really, because obviously there's so much, and the beauty of doing this last 30 years is, of course, there's lots of recordings out there. When we've been going back further than that, there's not so much to choose from. So it's been a job to pick out what to leave out, quite honestly.
I was going to say, it must be so nice as well for fans alike, but also former players, to really kind of reminisce and pick out, you know, things that really stand out for them over that time.
Well, I guess so, yes. I mean, everybody's got their own memories, and you know, for players, getting together and chatting, there's been opportunities over the last year with Joe Jacobson retiring for that group of players to get together. We had our dinner over at the Bull at Bissum a few weeks ago. When we looked talk to players and get together players who played in the 50s and 60s, and you had a lot of them. You came over and for that and interviewed some. So it's, you know, it doesn't really matter what generation, when you play for the club, when you're involved with the club, you know, you just like getting together and chatting about it, basically.
And it's really nice to kind of highlight on those occasions how obviously special the club is, but also how special, you know, the experiences that they've shared, you know, together are, both in a dressing room and on the pitch and in training and travelling and that sort of thing.
Well, I think so. I talk to a lot of the players in some of the things I do on match days at the club, taking them around to hospitality areas and things like that. And, you know, one of the things that's come across over the last few years, really, from lots of players which are coming in from, you know, really all over the country these days, not obviously not so much locally as it used to be, but they all say that Wickham is a special club, and the atmosphere at Wickham is unlike any other, really. And that's great. I mean, it's unusual, but I just think it says a lot for the way the club has been run over the years, and the way that you know, we look after people, and you know, everybody's an individual, everybody's valued.
And it's really special, obviously. I'm sure other professions have reunions as well, but, you know, there are real friendships and camaraderies that you get and that are maintained through many, many years. You mentioned, you know, the lunch that I attended, and it was fantastic to chat to people who, you know, there's a group that still play golf today, sort of like, you know, 50 or 60 years after they played.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there is something special about football. Yeah, it does happen in other industries, of course, but I think football is a little bit unique from that point of view. You just play with people over the years, you get to know them, you go your separate ways, but when you come back together, it's just, you've got this special bond, this something in common which you can just talk about and just reminisce. It's it is really great.
And a real fantastic advert for the Ex-Players Association, obviously, for, you know, attracting still players to keep coming back.
Well, yes, I mean, obviously, you know, you get people that qualify to be ex-players every year, sadly, because people come and go. You know, people leave clubs and come and go. It's more difficult these days because we're professional and because people come from all over the country. It's more difficult to keep in touch with the ex-players, but we try to contact most of them. You know, they're on our list of emails and things that go out. So even if they don't come back to us immediately, hopefully, as time goes on, you know, they will feel that they want to be part of it again. But of course, you know, when a player leaves and goes to another club, they're still playing. So on lots of our events, they're not really available, and it's like having this dinner on a Friday night. You know, for a lot of people, they can't do it because they're playing or working or coaching or something the next day somewhere else, you know, 200 miles away. So it's not the easiest thing, but the organisation is there, and hopefully, you know, just by them being in contact and hearing from us at some point in time, you know, they can dip in as well.
And at last year's dinner, a couple travelled a very long way from other countries even.
They did indeed, yeah. We had Jav Anthony, who's over from Canada, wasn't he, and from America, and Andy Kerr as well, who flew in. Sadly, Jeff can't come this year because we had to alter the date of the dinner this year and bring it forward by a week. And Jeff's timing for coming over every year was a week out, sadly. So he's going to miss out this year, but hopefully he'll be back next year.
I guess there's so many challenges with organising an event like this, not least the international break with no game on Saturday.
It hasn't helped, Colin, I have to say. It hasn't helped, yeah. One of the reasons we changed the date was because we wanted to have... we didn't want everybody to be away for an away game because with the team travelling. But yes, because of the international break, there are one or two people that we hoped would have been there on Friday, but because of the international break, won't now be there. But we do have some video inserts and messages to play from them.
And this will be the 14th dinner. How have you seen the event kind of grow and develop and really become more established in the calendar?
Well, I know it's very popular with people from sort of outside the Ex-Players Association. They all say it's sort of the best event of the year. So, yes, it has grown. Obviously, keeping up the standards for JDT with the inserts and everything that he does, it's a challenge. But, yeah, it's a fun evening. It's a relaxed evening. Yeah, and just a time. I mean, you've been there, so you know for the hour or so when people are arriving, and it's wonderful just to watch people and see people as they come in, and watch them greeting each other. And sometimes they haven't seen each other since a year, the last dinner. Sometimes it can be 10, 20 years. But yes, it has grown in its popularity, and I think just looking at the numbers today, we're very similar numbers to last year. So it's still something that people want to come to.
It's fantastic. That's just sprung to mind, actually. I was chatting last year to Jeff, and a guy came up to him, and who was his teacher at a school in Chesham, and he hadn't seen him since that time. And the reaction when Peter Sutterby as well, players that had played for him, saw him as well. That was lovely.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. So I mean, they're not scripted. Those opportunities and those moments just happen, and it's different each year depending on who comes, who else is there. So it's certainly something we look forward to. Hard work for John Taylor, but I think he enjoys doing it. So long may it continue, eh?
Absolutely, and fantastic to be able to recognise these milestones. You say 30 years in the Football League, there have been so many others. You mentioned the FA Cup game, and there was the Amateur Cup final as well, of course. Brilliant to sort of mark these anniversaries.
Yeah, well, that was what started it off, really. It was the 50th anniversary of the 1957 Amateur Cup final, and that was the very first get-together back in 2007. And really from that date, within a couple of years, the Ex-Players Association was formed. And then the dinner started. So that anniversary itself, the 57th anniversary, really kick-started what's happened ever since.
And really great that the event itself has this longevity, and hopefully it will continue long into the future as well.
Well, we hope so. I mean, obviously those of us that are helping to run it at the moment, and none of us are getting any younger, but hopefully in some way or another we'll. The association will keep going, the events will keep going, maybe in a slightly different format, who knows. But, for now, we do the best we can. And, as long as people enjoy it, and, we're happy to keep on doing it.
Well, it's a really special event. Very much looking forward to attending myself. Thank you so much indeed for your time.
You're welcome, Colin. See you tomorrow.
Great chatting to John Bignall, who is the co-host of the event, along with JDT, who's the master of ceremonies. I think it's fair to call him that. And very good job he does of hosting the event too. As I say, I've been fortunate enough to go to the last couple, and I'm allowed to go to this one as well. And very looking forward to next week's show, because if all goes to plan... Essentially, if this bit doesn't happen, I'll have failed. We'll be bringing you some fantastic interviews from the night. Imagine if I come up with nothing, but just talking about it next week. I'll just tell you who was there. It'll be, you can imagine. No, I'll be bringing you some excellent interviews. Really looking forward to it. The food's obviously always very good as well. It's a brilliant atmosphere, and there are some fantastic stories to come out of the evening. So very much looking forward to attending. As mentioned, there'll be Gareth Ainsworth there, and there'll be Scott McLeish there, who he's had on the show recently as well. And many other names I've seen. I don't want to spoil it too much. I shouldn't mention too many names, but there'll be some very special guests. And as John mentioned, some names from that fantastic FA Cup clash with Middlesbrough, of course, as well. Many other players and ex-players as well to speak to tomorrow. That'd be brilliant. I'm really looking forward to it. put myself under pressure now. Don't miss next week's show, though. It should be very, very special.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire. And on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
Final part of this week's edition of the Wycombe Wanderers Show. Still to come, we'll hear more from manager Matt Bloomfield and Matt Butcher as well. We'll get their thoughts on the international break. We've got some news from Wycombe Wanderers women in a few moments' time as well. Quite possibly quite an extensive notice board section as well. Let's kick off with that. Let's bring you news from Wycombe Wanderers Foundation, the club's charitable arm. A few notice board items to bring you as well. And the club will be represented by Robertswood School in Jarrod's Cross at the Utilita Kids Cup and Dr. Challoner's High School in Little Chalfont in the Utilita Girls Cup. That's after the two sides won a tournament hosted by the Foundation this week. Other news from the Foundation as well. We were talking a little earlier about the Christmas light switch on. Something else which is very festive. That is, tickets for Wycombe Santa Dash 2024 are available now. And you can get festive, in fact, and join a fun-filled either 2.5 kilometre or 5K run, walk or jog at Adams Park. That's coming up very, very soon as well. It's your opportunity to take part, improve your fitness, obviously, and also raise money for a very good cause as well. Well, two, actually, the Florence Nightingale Hospice Charity and Wickham Wanderers Foundation as well, helping local families and people across the county. You can check out their Eventbrite page to find out more details about the Santa Run. As I say, Florence Nightingale Hospice Charity, along with Wickham Wanderers, that is taking place at the ground on the 15th of December. That's Sunday, by the way. And it's a 10:30 kickoff. So you can do that at your pace. At your pace? Yeah, at your own pace. Ah, there's a word missing from that. You can do that at your own pace. You can do that at your pace. Well, I think that still works. Also, from the foundation, you're being invited to join them for their morning club on a Saturday. It's called the Saturday Morning Club, in fact. This is a special shout-out, don't like that expression, to anyone who's four. Do you think anyone age four will be listening? You might have a four-year-old son or daughter. You might know a four-year-old. Tell them. Tell them this is a thing. I don't know if four-year-olds might... They might listen to this. You might get just as much joy out of it if you're... If you're four, going to nursery, we have the Wickham Wanderer show on, it might be a thing. You're being invited anyway, where there's lots of fun. You can make new friends as well and, play football. It's perfect for the little ones to learn the basics, get active and make new friends as well. You can bring your energy and smiles, and the foundation will bring the fun as well. You can find out more information and to book by checking out wickhamwandererfoundation.co.uk/sports-participation, and that'll take you to that. If you know any four-year-olds, they can they might be able to do it instead. They might be, you know, perhaps more technology savvy than yourself. Also, falling under the umbrella of the Wickham Wanderers Foundation is the women's team. They had a fantastic League Cup win on Sunday, 11-1. They did really, really well there. And they're back in action in league action against Winchester on Sunday. Manager Carl Simon, you might have seen a quote from him on social media saying how well they're doing in the first third of the season. Been chatting to defender Milana Cador, who we spoke to, you might recall, at the media event ahead of the start of the season. She's worked her way up from the under-18s, although, as you'll hear, hasn't actually played for the under-18s, through to the under-23s, which is now known as the development side, and is also now featuring regularly for the first team as well. But as tends to be the way of starting these chats, let's find out how she very first started playing football.
I started playing for a football club when I was 11, but before that I was playing with my dad and like volunteering and helping coaching.
And how did your arrival at Wickham come about?
I actually followed two of my teammates. We left our previous club together and moved to Wickham.
And what were your first impressions?
I thought it was, I just thought it was a really cool environment. And then I just thought that everyone was like really nice. And I just saw that's where I wanted to be.
And what's the progression been like from the under-18s through to the development to the first team? Has that been sort of quicker than you imagined, or has the standard been very different in all three?
It was actually quicker than I imagined, because originally I was going to be playing for the under-18s. However, I was then selected to be part of the 23s at the time. So I didn't actually play for the under-18s, I only played for the 23s for the bulk of the season. And then actually for the first game of the season, I played with the first team. And then majority of the season last year, I played with the 23s and then played for the first team sporadically towards the end of the season. So slightly quicker than I expected, but it was a nice progression and got to know everyone at the club.
And what was the step up like to the first team? Because that must have been quite a sort of thrill to be moved up to that level.
It was a big difference. However, having like teammates and players to support you was really helpful. And then I can also get feedback on the side so I can like continually learn to improve.
And what's been the process like finding your position? Have you always played in the same position, or has it been sort of a mixture really?
I originally started playing as a outside back on the right side, so right back. And then I was moved into central defence as a sort of defensive cover, so I'd sweep there. And then ever since, I've played centre-half. However, I have played in the left-back, right-back and centre-back positions for the first team. And then actually recently, when I was coming out of my recent but recovered ankle injury, I played in midfield in the six for the 23s. So that was new. But most of my playing, I have played in defence.
Do you have a favourite position?
Centre-back.
And I guess that's a really nice sort of place to be as well, in terms of, you know, the impact you can have on the game.
Yeah, it's, I like being at the back, you know, like the defensive aspect, but I also enjoy going forward. It's not, I prefer shutting it down though. It's really strange, but I prefer defending. So it's quite fun.
And how have you noticed in the comparatively short time that you've been involved in the kind of the change in terms of, you know, the progression of the team as a whole?
I have seen big progression, especially recent with the new players coming in, the new atmosphere among the first team and everything. It's following on from last year, that's like going to be a really strong progression towards the end of the season, like going forward.
Have you had any sort of standout moments, anything that really, you know, stands in your mind as to sort of games or parts of games, occasions or things that have happened to you?
Getting 3 assists in the FA Cup qualifier, definitely.
And that was such a memorable game as well. What was it like to be part of?
It was a really sweet experience, especially when we had like the little mascots and they came in the changing rooms and they were like getting us to sign things. It was sweet. There was lots and loads of questions. And it was just really nice to be a role model, I guess. Yeah.
Is that really nice for you as well? Because I guess it sort of takes you back to when, you know, you were younger and just starting out as well.
Yeah, it was really sweet because they were like looking up to us and you get to just lead away in women's football because it's still growing and like being able to like still inspire little ones is really like, is special, I guess, yeah.
And I imagine there are players who inspire you as well at a higher level too.
Very much so. Wendy Reynard, yeah, she plays at Olympic Lyonnais and is captain of the French national team. She plays in my position and, yeah, definitely inspires me.
You must have noticed a real growth in women's football generally as well, just in the time that you've been playing alone.
Yes, very much. It's a big difference. Still can be better. It's still growing, but the difference is massive. Comparatively, and I think I like to call it the Euros effect. So when England won the recent Euros, from there was a massive like growth in women's football, and it really started to take off following such.
And does it feel nice that you've kind of, you're sort of spreading your time really between the development side and the first team this season?
Yes, it was, especially when I was coming back from my ankle injury, because it just means that I can ease myself back into playing for the first team again so I can recover properly.
I guess that's tricky in a way, but nice in a way that you've got that kind of put behind you, and as you say, you're kind of returning to fitness now.
Yes. You're awfully good now.
Oh, brilliant. And do you kind of set yourself your own kind of personal goals and also goals for the team for the remainder of the season too?
Yes, I have a list of personal goals for the season and also personal aspirations and a few with the team, so yeah.
And do you notice your own kind of progression in your game personally and obviously the development that you've had throughout the, as I say, the development team and also the first team as well?
Yes, I have noticed differences in how I play, and comparing it to looking back at my previous footage, it's really interesting to see the way that I've grown as in mentally in the game structure as well as the technical side. It's nice to see like the progression that I've learned from being at Wickham.
And do you notice as well real changes in the team? Because I know speaking to Carl before the start of the season, he was looking for more creativity and more attacking play, and that's something which does seem to be introduced this season.
Oh, yes, there is a lot of change that's coming from the new players and also the continual players. Like, it's just constantly, like, we're constantly pushing, we're constantly achieving, and we're constantly improving, and we're working together as a team, and I'm glad to see that it's showing. So, yeah.
And what would you say you enjoy most about playing for Wickham?
Very good question. I have to say that one of the things I most enjoy about playing for Wickham is I have made some amazing like connections at the team. Like, I got like teammate support. Like, it really, like, it's a really strong club in terms of the connections that I've made. Additionally, like, when we win together, we win together. When we lose together, we lose together. Like, we can be there for each other as a club. Like, it's really nice.
And what's it like combining sort of training and playing, obviously, with sort of your outside life as well?
I have a strict schedule and I'm pretty good at sticking to it. Very rigid in my time slots. So it's not too bad. I can manage it, yeah.
So what do you do when you're not playing football?
I currently study my A-levels.
Ooh, well, that sounds stressful.
Not particularly.
Oh, brilliant.
But it's all right, yeah.
What subjects are you doing?
Maths, physics and art.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's a nice combination.
In theory.
Oh, brilliant. Well, we wish you all the best with your studies and also your football as well. It's been brilliant to speak to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Real pleasure chatting up. That's not what I meant at all. Chatting to Milana. We'll be chatting to Danielle next week on the show. If you missed their 11-1 win, there's some brilliant highlights available online. Three players got hat-tricks as well. And as I say, Milana featured in that game as well. Upcoming games for the Chair Girls this weekend. On Saturday, the under-18s are at home to Ascot United. And then on Sunday, the development side welcome Caversham United, and then the first team are away to Winchester City Flyers. Wish them all the best for that. Fantastic to catch up on the foundation news as well. There are some brilliant events which are taking place as well, which the club are hosting. Talking of Christmas, there's a Christmas party for supporters at Adams Park on the evening of Saturday, the 21st of December. The event, which kicks off at 7 in the Caledonian Suite, will combine a first-class Christmas buffet-style meal with DJ entertainment, enabling guests to party the night away. I'm sure you'll enjoy doing that in the company of fellow Chairboys fanatics as well. Tickets are available. Check out tickets.wwfc.com for more details upon that. And there are plenty of other events that the club are staging as well, especially if you're a business. There's a brilliant business breakfast, which is a fantastic opportunity for you to network as well. The club are pleased to invite local business representatives to the networking breakfast, which is taking place at Adams Park. That's on the 3rd of December. That's a Tuesday. Starts at 9. It's an event which will give guests the opportunity to hear talks from club officials and other key speakers, as well as tour the stadium and network with fellow attendees. As I say, it really sounds a fantastic event, and included in the ticket price is a breakfast consisting of freshly baked croissants and pastries, fruit, teas and coffees, and fruit juices as well. So yeah, that sounds very good. For more details on that, it's the same at web address, ticket.wwfc.com, or you can email commercial@wwfc.com. Finally, though, let's hear from the manager in a few moments' time. But first, midfielder Matt Butcher talking about the international break and what the players think.
Yeah, it's difficult. Obviously, it's nice to get a break. Like you say, the schedule was pretty manic. We had Saturday, Tuesdays for, I can't remember now, but pretty much every week. So I think it'll do us good in the long run. And off the back of last time we had a few days off and had the international break, it done us really well when we come back flying. So everyone will be itching to come back and prepare for the game. But it's important that we, you know, take this time to rest, because everyone knows what the Christmas period is like, and we're right into the thick of it when we get back.
I wanted to play. Momentum's hard to come by in football and in sport, and when you have it, you want to feel it and roll with it and run with it. I would rather have played, but it is what it is. The lads going to have a few days at home with their families and loved ones and see the kids and do all that. And, you know, last week we were away at Stockport, we were away at Wigan, we were away for 5 days on the road, so they deserve to be at home for a couple of days over the weekend and relax. Because Monday morning comes around and we are going to be at it, because we've got, you know, Lincoln away, we've got some tough games coming up. So, they can take a quick breather and then we're off again.
So a few days off to rest and recuperate, is that right?
Yeah, it's got to be. It's the right thing to do. We've got a busy period of midweek games heading into the Christmas period, is always obviously intense as well. So, yeah, they deserve a couple of days because of the work they've done. But that's not taking the foot off the pedal. It's to relax, recover, and come back with a bit between your teeth, because come Monday morning, we're at it.
Manager Matt Bloomfield speaking to Phil. You can hear more of that interview, of course, on Wanderers TV. The Wickham Wanderers show ending on a high this week. Don't forget, if you're not going to a game on Saturday, there's the Christmas light switch on in the town. Wickham Wanderers are the headline club sponsors, or the headline sponsors, to give them the proper title, and there'll be lots to see and do for the whole family there. Join us for next week's show as well. We'll be featuring guests from the Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association annual dinner. Look forward to seeing you there.